Let's open in our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts chapter 4. That's where we'll start. We're continuing to look at what the gospel does not include. Just simply addressing some of the responses that if you ask someone if they're going to heaven, which they will all say yes, which again is why I encourage you to ask. If you were to stand before God and he should ask you why he should let you into heaven, what would you tell him? And if you ask it that way, you get a real response to where their trust is. And these are just some of the responses that people give. The most common and basically all-encompassing is that of works. And we looked at that. We looked at baptism last time. A lot of people feel that because they've been baptized, their sins have been washed away and they're good to go. Tonight I'd like to look at another one. It's not as common. In fact, I only know of one denomination that actually teaches this. And yet, we find that a lot of people will appeal to this for their security that they're on their way to heaven, even though their church does not teach it. Even some Baptists will cling to this. And that's just simply, I'm a church member. I'm a church member. In other words, they feel that the church will get them to heaven. Now, do you know what denomination it is that teaches that as the truth? Yeah, the Roman Catholics. Now, I've got some quotes for you. This I didn't look at the catechism of the Catholic Church. I didn't look at it, but here's someone's what they discovered who did. And here's one statement. No one can have God as Father who does not have the church as mother. In other words, they teach there's no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, they would put the word holy Roman Catholic Church, but it certainly is not that. Here's another statement from the Catechism. It is the church that believes first and so bears, nourishes, and sustains my faith. Now, let me ask you this. How can the church, apart from the people, believe anything? Because that's exactly what they're saying. The church, the organization, not the organism. The organism is the group of people that make up the church. The biblical definition of the word church. But they're looking at the denomination itself. It first believes. And because the thing believes an inanimate object, therefore our faith rests in its faith. That's just utter foolishness. Utter foolishness. If I were to say, I believe because this pulpit believes, and my faith rests entirely on the faith of this pulpit, you'd run me out of town into a funny farm. And you ought to. But that's no different than what the Roman Catholic Catechism says. And yet they see it as logical and right, and they don't challenge it. Here's another thing they say. We receive the life of faith through the church. She is our mother. We believe the church as the mother of our new birth. Now, they have to have a mother for everything, don't they? Because they want to exalt Mary. And unfortunately, that exaltation of Mary has nothing to do with the biblical Mary. It goes back to ancient Babylon and Nimrod, and a fascinating study to see how that worship that Nimrod originated and his mother has gone through every great culture of idolaters. All right, here's another statement. Reconciliation with the church is inseparable from reconciliation with God. Now, because of the Vatican II Council, there were many Protestants who were fooled into thinking that Rome has finally recognized the Protestant denominations. And I believe Billy Graham is one of those who believed that. Unfortunately, he was not correct, or none of those that believe that are correct. That's all false. Because the current pope, they never retracted what was just stated in their own catechism, that there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Pope that is currently reigning over Roman Catholicism, when he first became Pope, he reiterated that Catholic doctrine. And so they believe that there's salvation in the church. Now, I'm sure by now you're in Acts chapter 4. I want to just look at a couple of verses that if someone were to say this to you, take them to this verse. Romans chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Now that word is important on the subject this evening. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It doesn't say there is none other church, none other denomination. You see, that's not where salvation originates. It originates with the person of Jesus Christ because of what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Our faith isn't to rest in the faith of our church. Our faith is to rest in the person of Jesus Christ. Look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. A very familiar verse. If I was asked you to quote it, we'd probably have a number of you that could quote this verse. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Jesus says he is the way to the Father, not through the Catholic Church or any other church denomination for that matter. And so we don't need a co-mediatrix. He doesn't say, but by me and my mother, does he? That's not what the Word of God says. But that's what man has invented to direct faith away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't need the whole group of saints that are in heaven to help us access the Father. We go directly to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. And then also one last verse in 1 Peter on this subject. Salvation is not to be found in the church, no matter what church that is. Whether it be a good church or a not good church. And by good, I just simply mean one that preaches the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so again, we see that our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is given to us through the word of God. If there's any vehicle, it's the word of God. It's not the church or the faith of the church. It's simply the truth of the written word of God. And that's where our faith lies for our salvation. We learn of Jesus, his sinless and immaculate conception, and we learn of his virgin birth, and we learn of his sinless life, and we learn of his miracles revealing his deity. We learn of his death on the cross, giving himself willingly for you and for I, or for you and for me. And we learn of his resurrection 3 days later. We learn of his ascension, and we learn of all these things right here in God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the Bible is inseparable from salvation. And so God makes that very clear right here in 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That teaches us of the blood of Christ. And so there is no place for the Roman Catholic Church. David Cloud had this to say about the Roman Catholic Church and their doctrine of salvation being found in the church. He said, Rome teaches that Christ, having purchased redemption by his blood and death, delivered it to the Catholic Church to be distributed to men through her sacraments. That gives them total control. And as an example of how they exercise that total control, way back when I was in Bible college, there was a young couple that started going to church where Amy and I were attending. And we were able to get them into a Bible study, and we were talking to them one time in the Bible study, and they were telling us they had a little girl, and mom was raised Catholic, and they were telling us the reason they came to the Baptist church is they wanted to reconnect with her Roman Catholicism, and they wanted to have that baby baptized as the Romans teach. Of course, that's one of the sacraments, no hope of heaven without being sprinkled, none whatsoever. And as they took the little girl to get baptized, the priest looked at that little girl and looked up at them and said, "You get caught up on your back ties, and I'll baptize her, and I will not baptize her until." In other words, you had to financially purchase your way into heaven, according to that priest. And that's the control. They teach that salvation has been given to them to distribute to whoever they feel is worthy. And there's one way to show that you're worthy, right here, with your money. And so baptism is not to be found in the church. It's to be found in the person of Christ as revealed through the Word of God. He is the way, the only way. And no man comes to the Father but by Him and Him alone. That's what's not said in the verses, but what's between the lines, by Him alone. All right, let's move on to another common teaching. When I was in first grade, the church wouldn't let you come until you were in first grade, but all my siblings and I went to, when we got into first grade, we went to Sunday school. They only held Sunday school during the school year. Can you imagine that? They took the summer off. Every Sunday school teacher is thinking right now, well, that's a really good idea. We can all use a break. I understand that. But that's just the way they operated. And when I first got saved, I wanted to reconnect with that church. I quit going when I was probably about 12 or 13. My mom gave all of us a choice if we wanted to keep going, and it could not compete with Sunday morning cartoons, even though they didn't have the cartoons they have today. It couldn't catch with the frogs out in the ponds or the minnows in the streams that we used to like to play with. And so we said no, and we quit going. But then after I got saved, I thought, well, I'll check them back out. And I never did make it back, but I started to look at their material. And what I found out is they teach that everybody is going to heaven. Universal salvation. And the philosophy behind that is that if Jesus died for all, then all are going to heaven. But that's not the way it is. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 is a very powerful verse. If you want a verse to encourage you to pass out gospel tracts or to share the gospel, here's Paul's statement, his testimony. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Isn't that a terrible thing to be ashamed? You know, this is something that I'll just have, we'll play Roman Catholicism and I'll confess. I have real difficulties passing out gospel tracts because my nature is to be very backward and very shy. And I'm not afraid to stand up for Christ, but I just really struggle with that. Now, I handed out one today. The only opportunity I had, I handed one out. I started doing this because it ran in too many times where I didn't have one and I wanted to give one out. And so I'm not going to be anywhere without a gospel tract anymore. But I really struggle just handing them out. Now, I do, but I really have to beat myself up to do it. But Paul said, "I'm not ashamed." Man, I wish I had that. Some of you do. I wish I did. I've known people that have absolutely no shame, and we shouldn't have any. No embarrassment, just be very bold is the way we ought to be. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now here's why. "It is the power of God." Now we don't have to go any further than that to really get a blessing out of this verse. You know, there's nothing magical or mystical or supernatural about this little pamphlet. But inside it, it has quotes from God's Word. That's where the power is. It's the power of God. Now, how much power does God possess? All power. That's a good answer. You know, He just simply spoke, and guess what? There was light. And He spoke again, and there was firmament. And He spoke again, and there was dry ground. And spoke again, and there was the plants filling that ground. And that's the power of God, creating all that exists out of nothing. Out of nothing. That's the amazing thing. When my brothers and I were growing up, we were pretty creative. I used to drive my mom crazy. You know what, to us, when I was growing up, you know what old cereal boxes, after you ate all the cereal, you know what their purpose was? We used to make the old sailing ships out of those cereal boxes. And we used to make decks and little cardboard cannons. Well, what drove my mom crazy, she didn't mind that part. But does anyone remember the old bamboo curtains? The bamboo was about the same diameter as maybe the insert in a pen, if it was even that thick. And you just weave a whole bunch of them together and it'd be a nice light blocker. We had those. And they started getting holes because we couldn't find anything that was better to use for a mast than those pieces of bamboo. And we were absolutely forbidden to tear any more bamboo pieces out of those curtains. You think that stopped us? No, we were little rascals. And my kids make me question whether that verse, you reap what you sow, really came true, because I did not reap what I sowed. And I know it's true, but God was just that good to me that my kids weren't like me and my brothers. Boy, my poor mom. We really put her through some times. But you know, we're talking about being creative, talking about the power of God. Everything we made, we had to have that empty cereal box. We used to fight over who got the empty cereal box. We just really liked doing that. Then we'd fight over who got that stick that we had the courage to pull out of that curtain, knowing if we got caught, there'd be a spanking on the other side of that. We had to have material to build everything we built. God didn't. God didn't. He created it all out of nothing. He just simply spoke, and there it was. How cool is that? Then we get back to our verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel of Christ, filling in that pronoun it, the gospel of Christ is the power of God. You know, that person that you don't think could ever get saved, guess what? They can. That person you think is so hardened or so steeped in their religion, so many people, you know, Christians, don't think a Muslim can get saved. And yet you talk to the missionaries to the Muslims, and they will tell you that Muslims, especially in a Muslim nation, are so open to hearing the gospel. Now, they may not receive Christ, but they want to hear it because they have never had the opportunity to be exposed to it. And they don't know what it's all about. They've heard it spoken against, but they don't know what it's all about. And so they'll listen very respectfully. And many of them are getting saved because they find out that God is completely different than Allah, their false god or moon god. And, these idiots today that say that we're worshiping the same God as the Muslim, I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And yet, men that are, and unfortunately women, that are leaders in evangelical circles today are saying we all worship the same God. And they're just fools because they are fooled by the devil. But it's the power of God. They can all be saved. Every last one of them. Doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter where they go to church. It doesn't matter if they even go to church. It's the power of God. Unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, we're talking about universal salvation. That's a false teaching. That attitude that we're all going to heaven. Sometimes it's stated this way. I don't believe a loving God could ever send anyone to hell. I've heard that many times. In fact, one of the dear ladies in Calvary Baptist in Bucyrus, I witnessed her husband many times and didn't get anywhere. And we had a real soul winning evangelist in, and he was from down south, and this lady's husband is from down south, and so I took him over there, and he tried his best to win him to the Lord, and it all came back to that. And as far as I know, that man is going to wind up spending an eternity in hell because he cannot believe a loving God would send anyone to hell. That's universal salvation. But notice what it says here in verse 16 in that on that subject. Towards the end of the verse, it says, to everyone that believeth. In other words, God is telling us it's not automatic. Universal salvation says it's automatic just by the very fact that we've been born into this world. We're going to go to heaven because Jesus died for all men. Now, he did die for all men, but not all men take advantage of what he's done for them. And so they'll wind up dying and going to hell unless they believe. Also in John chapter 3, Jesus makes it clear there as well when he's talking to Nicodemus. We'll pick it up in verse number 3 and read a number of verses here. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that verse has caused a great deal of confusion. It ought not. God is very clear in his word. But there are many who will take this verse and say this is teaching water baptism, that you have to be regenerated and immersed, born of the water. They think applies to water baptism. But the fact that it doesn't is revealed in the next verse, verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He's talking about natural birth. And then he goes on to saying that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so he identifies what being born of the water is all about. It's being born of the flesh. It's that first birth, that natural birth. But God teaches there has to be two births, a first and a second. The original birth and the new birth, being born again. Otherwise, we will not see heaven. And so universal salvation just is not a scriptural doctrine. All right, one last one. We got just a couple of minutes. I'm trying to get through these so we can move on in our study here, Lord willing, next time. But another one that's given frequently, it's still on all of these, as I said, are on the subject of works. And that's why we spent so much time just on the subject of works. But it's, I keep the Ten Commandments. I hear that one a lot. I keep the Ten Commandments. Or I try to keep the Ten Commandments, or do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. And they think that will get them to heaven. My neighbors have the Ten Commandments posted out in their landscaping. I'd really like to talk to them, but they're both deaf. And I don't speak sign language. And does anyone here know how to speak sign language? A little bit? Okay. There's a fella, he essentially is a missionary to the deaf. I know he used to be out of this area. I ran into him at a preacher's meeting last summer. And I know somewhere I've got his prayer card. I'm thinking about inviting him over just so I can go visit my neighbors and share the gospel with them. I hope they're not trusting the Ten Commandments. But a lot of people say that. Just, if you would, turn over to Galatians. Galatians is all you need to know, because that's what that book is all about. We'll start in chapter 2 and just grab a number of verses. And they're clear enough, I don't know that I'll have to even make any comment. If anyone is trusting their ability to keep the Ten Commandments. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that he might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. And so the law, including the Ten Commandments, a summary of the law, just won't get the job done. Down in verse 21, same chapter, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, what he's saying is the crucifixion is meaningless, it's useless, if the Ten Commandments could save anyone. All right, over in chapter 3, verses 11, 12, and 13. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now he's quoting from the Old Testament there. Verse number 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And so, quoting several times in that passage from the Old Testament, showing that even in the Old Testament, God made it very clear that the Ten Commandments could not save. Then over in chapter 5, one last verse, and we'll finish for the evening. Verse number 4, chapter 5, verse number 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, this verse needs just a little bit of comment because of that last phrase. There are those that believe that when it says fallen from grace, teaches that you can lose your salvation. And that is not even close, remotely close to the context of that passage of Scripture. What he's saying is that you are no longer operating in the realm of grace. You have thrown grace under the bus and you decided to live by the law. That's the contrast. Grace and law, not salvation or lack thereof. And so he's saying that if we are trusting our works, our ability to keep the commandments to get us to heaven, he says you no longer are trusting in the grace of God. But so it cannot save. The law, the Ten Commandments, in no way can save according to the book of Galatians. And so, again, that's one I hear a lot. And so those are just some things that people respond that they're trusting in, things that churches are teaching that will bring salvation, and none of it will. We saw what will, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. And we need to be very clear on that, and we need to not necessarily memorize these verses, but at least know where to look in the Word of God to show them that this is what God says. You have to do with it what you can, but this is what God says. All right, we'll go ahead and be dismissed here. Father, we're grateful for your word. Thank you for the clarity of salvation. Father, there should be no debate on this subject because of the clarity in your word. And yet, the devil is a master of confusion, the father of lies. And Father, we know that he's wreaking havoc in churches today, trying to bring in false doctrine, and especially surrounding the area of salvation, that men might believe they're saved, and yet here on judgment day, depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you. And so, Lord, help us to be clear when we present the gospel, that folks that we talk to will hear, and the power of God will have an impact on their hearts for an eternity. Father, now bless us as we go, in Jesus' name, amen.